This month, the man whose absurdism has made annoying music merely amusing is observing the 10th anniversary of an utterly serious endeavor. Jim Nader, the host of the Annoying Music Show that's done out of WBEZ in Chicago, also hosts a weekly show that's commonly broadcast in the middle of the night. It is called Magnificent Obsession, True Stories of Recovery from Alcohol and Drug Addiction. Each 30-minute episode features the story of one person's battle with alcohol or drug addiction told in his or her own words.
My name is BT and I'm an addict. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Give you a little history. I guess this is my drug log. My drug of choice was drugs, period. There's nothing that I haven't used or abused.
Magnificent Obsession is broadcast by more than 80 public radio stations across the country. And our friend Jim Nader joins us now from WBEZ in Chicago. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Scott, thanks so much for having me.
And why did you start the show 10 years ago?
Well, it started, like all great radio, as an accident, kind of. I ended up doing marketing communications for a hospital that had started a chemical dependency unit. And purely for the advertising for the unit, I went on the treatment floor, and being in radio, instead of taking notes, I just put down my tape recorder and asked the patients, you know, questions about how did you get here, who made the phone call, what led up to it, et cetera, et cetera. So when I went back to listen to the tapes, you know, to try to get some hook for advertising, I found myself compelled more by the stories and these people than the marketing. And I guess because I'm in radio, you know, light bulb went off and said this would make a great program. It's so personal. It's one-on-one. These stories are a roller coaster from the depths of horror to sometimes elation at the end and a lot of things in between.
And where do you find guests?
The program is not affiliated with Alcoholics Anonymous or any kind of a treatment center. So it's kind of a word-of-mouth thing.
Over the span of 10 years, are there some themes that you hear over and over again?
A lot of the participants say they can remember that first drink. There's a woman that comes to mind. She was a child. Her parents were having a party downstairs, and she remembers sneaking downstairs, you know, filling up a glass of vodka and maybe a shot of 7-Up and taking the drink. And she describes it as this warm, wonderful feeling that just exploded inside of her, and it felt so good that she went down and made another. Now, this is a kid, you know, and another, and another, and another. And so many people say, I remember that first drink. It was behind Uncle Harry's barn, and it felt like nothing I had ever felt before that I had to have another one.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to a clip, if we can. The gentleman who's introduced to us is BT.
I use because I never felt okay about myself. What is using? It's mood, mind-altering chemicals. I needed to change my mind. I needed to change my mood.
In that one clip, Jim, it raises one of the oldest debates in recovery and addiction circles, which is it chemical or is it situational?
If you've reached the point where you know you are addicted to the point where it controls your life, it doesn't matter if you were brought up a certain way, if your father was abusive, if you had the perfect childhood, but it's in your genes. That same person that was just talking describes that he doesn't blame his father, because if he did, he'd have to blame his father's father and his father's father, whatever. The situation is, he has to deal with it now.
Because my addiction dates back to as far as even before I picked up that first pill, drink, or fix. I have that addictive personality. I don't know where it came from. I know I'm not responsible for that disease. What I am responsible for is my recovery.
And you sort of lose track trying to figure out why. It's like, why did I get cancer? It serves no purpose. The energy has got to be used to stop drinking. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Let's listen to, if we could, also from the insights of a woman known as Mary.
I was very frustrated. Number one, I was a divorced lady, 6 kids, no education. And to me, the only break was getting drunk. I would normally come home. Now, at this time, I'm going to school and working and the 6 kids, because I had no education or anything. So I was going to college and working my buns off. And my big reward was, after I would study, is to get loaded and pass out. That was the end of my day. I'd come home, feed the kids, start studying. Maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd be finished with my studying, and I would go into the refrigerator and get the biggest glass of wine you ever saw and you know, drank until I was passed out.
Well, if you see old Annie, better give her a lift, 'cause Annie's been a-working on a midnight shift.
Given your identity with our listeners as the Annoying Music Man, music is still an important part of the identity of this show, isn't it?
It's very important, particularly with love songs, because someone in addiction often describes that magnificent obsession for that drink to be like trying to catch a lover type of a thing. So you end up listening to love songs in the head of someone ensnared by this, and it takes a entirely different but powerful light. You know, the song that comes to mind is from The Phantom of the Opera, the music of the night.
Yeah.
The lyrics are something like this: close your eyes and surrender to your darkest dreams. Heard your thoughts of a life you knew before. Close your eyes, let your music start to soar.
And you'll live as you've never lived before. Floating, falling, sweet intoxication. Touch me, trust me, savor each sensation. Let the dream begin, let your darker side give in to the power of the music that I write. The power.
To me, that song kind of sums it up, because music of the night is this thing you've just got to possess. Your body tells you, your mind, and everything else aside, you've got to have it, and that's what the disease is. So music can say a lot of things that maybe I can't say, or even some of the folks I'm taping.
Okay. I've got a difficult question, and I approach this. I think we've both had this problem in our families, as we know, so maybe we can take some license on this. Is it sometimes necessary for someone to be humiliated for them to build back, to feel that they've absolutely hit rock bottom?
One person I recorded lost his family, lost his job. But when he couldn't play the piano, he was an entertainer, and when he finally started messing up in his performances, that's when he really went on a drunk to end all drunks. And it's that type of a thing. Bottoming out is the point where you know you're going to lose the thing most important. And it seems to happen in most of the cases, unfortunately. And, of course, it causes a lot of damage to the families and the people around them. But part of the recovery process is to make things right with them. So I'm kind of lucky, because I'm sort of like a doctor who knows many of his patients are going to get well, because by the end of the story, the recording, they tell how they're given a second chance. So I feel quite lucky.
The highest that I've gotten in my sobriety is watching my son catch a football and running for a touchdown. That high was insurmountable. You could never replace watching your kid grow up and seeing the brights of his eyes, and seeing that he loves you unconditionally.
And the most beautiful part about it is all that I think about now is the very children that I thought were burdens at one time turn out to be my greatest gifts.
Jim, thanks very much.
Scott, really, thanks so much for having me.
Jim Nader, host of Magnificent Obsession, True Stories of Recovery. It's broadcast from member station WBEZ and carried on public radio stations across the country. The program observes its 10th anniversary this month, and for more information about it, you can come to our website, npr.org.
I recall the nights we stayed up late, wide awake, but still dreaming. There was nothing on this earth that could make me tired. But memories don't come so easily. So good night, good night. Wherever you are sleeping, and I hope if you dream of me. Good night. Wherever you are sleeping, and I hope that if you dream, dream.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.